New Yorkers everywhere know Allison Steele, Allison our Nightbird, the original member of WNEW-FM, because in its beginning, or before its beginning, Allison, it was...
Well, it wasn't, you can't say before the beginning.
No, it was an all-female station.
It was the beginning, yes.
Before Christ, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. I was on the air July 4th, 1966. That was the beginning of WNEW-FM, yes, and it was all females.
Yep.
And I was in your spot. I was on from 2 to 7 every day.
You were in the afternoon.
Yes.
And then slowly...
I was the Scott Muni of the geriatric set.
No, but actually, that was a format that Dennis Elsis is here. Dennis, you're our historian.
Well, I was gonna say, Allison, can you describe for our listeners what WNEW-FM sounded like from 1966 until this very day, back in 67?
From July 4th, 1966... When I went to audition for the job, this will give you a clue, the record that they handed me to cue up was Roger Williams and Autumn Leaves. Mm-hmm. And that's what we played, the same music that they played on the AM side. We played Steve and Edie. I had a program on Sunday morning called Steel, Sinatra, and Strings. And it was 5 hours of Frank Sinatra before guess who?
Schwartz, something.
I can't remember his name. And then when we played that music until the fall of 67, when by that time I think it had begun to be decided that we were going to go rock. So they told us to drop in things. And I was dropping in things like Cream. And the Beatles, and who else?
Probably Hendrix and stuff like that.
No, Hendrix was a little outrageous for us. We were playing things like the Cowsills, would you believe? And the Peppermint Watch Band. Matter of fact, Scott, I was cleaning out a file drawer the other day and I found a bunch of memos, I meant to bring them, of music that we were playing in those days. And it's a really...
Yeah, it was a motley.
A motley mixed.
Yeah. Everybody who made a record got
yes.
to play.
Yeah, it was the Temps and the Turners and the Beatles and the Cowsills and a bunch of really groups that we never think about anymore.
Yeah, but wait a minute. When you go back to the Steel, Sinatra, and Strings...
Yes.
I just want to let you know that, and you were talking about Jonathan and other people, but before Allison and before Jonathan, Lonnie Starr, oh. Starr, Sinatra,
well,
and Strings was
the first.
Well,
where do you think they got it from?
Right, okay,
sure.
I just want to clear that up so we get...
Yeah, but Scott,
Lonnie, rest
that
in peace,
goes
his,
back
his
to
credits.
The Ice Age.
It goes
mean,
back when I was in kindergarten.
Yeah,
but that's
of course,
all right.
Exactly.
But
right.
We have to be historical here.
Oh, absolutely.
I was actually in kindergarten.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Really, I mean...
Sure.
I was around long before rock,
well,
and that was good for me because I got to grow up in a place where I had rhythm and blues, where
right.
I had Dixieland. I grew up in New Orleans, and there's so many good barrel house musicians mm-hmm. there, and Dixieland.
It's coming back now.
And blues, and I love it all. Well, it never went away.
Well, but it's big now. They have a name for it. Zydeco?
Yeah, well, that's a new tag.
Yeah.
I don't like to have tags
yeah.
put on stuff, but
well,
it's good. Yeah.
We've been fighting that for
yeah,
years.
I
but I grew up with doo-wop. You know, so progressive rock was a big deal.
Dennis, you entered into this.
I was...
There it is.
There it is.
Allison, you can't hear this. This is audible.
Let me give you the headphones, Allison. We've got...
Roger Williams.
Oh, my God. And to
well, it
think,
shows you how big our WNEW-FM library
incredible,
is.
Incredible. Because of that record, has it got my fingerprints on it?
Yes. And your dog's hair is on there, too.
And
you used to bring the dog in the studio.
Yeah, right.
Oh, there's the dog now.
There's my dog. How about the duck, Dave? Give him the duck. A... Yeah, right.
God.
That's my dog, actually. Are you all right, buddy? You all right? Good. Okay, my dog's fine. Ron Delsner is here with us. Ron, now, actually, you're a newcomer into the, to the when we go back that far. You're a newcomer into the music thing, really.
Thanks a lot. I wish I were.
No, you are really, though. I mean, you've, if we were going back that far.
66, I started
yeah,
at Park.
That's right.
64, yeah. I worked at Forest Hills when we had the Beatles and Bob Dylan went electric. But 66 was really the Park, and that's when things were happening, and you guys came along. We did all those free shows in the park.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to
those
talk to the mayor
days.
In a little while about that.
Yeah, why don't you ask him why there are no more
done
free
any,
shows?
Yeah. Actually, you have to say something about that now, and I'd like for you to clarify that. Everyone knows about WNEW-FM and our free concerts in Central Park, our free concerts in the park. A free concert is not
free.
A free concert.
Exactly. They started off costing about $15,000, and the last one was $1.5 million. And someone has to pay for that.
Yep.
And what we did was we got sponsors, and you guys used to kick in money, and the record company put in some money, and we'd sell some T-shirts. And it got so out of hand because the cost was so crazy. And then there was police overtime, which was a new phrase which came about the last couple of years, and that kind of killed the whole idea. Because we never had to pay for police at all in the city of New York when we did a show. I don't think the Metropolitan Opera does or the Philharmonic, but we had to, and that kind of killed the,
yeah, the
rock
insurance
scene.
And everything, and then building a stage and all the things that go along with a free concert. That free concert, the public is a massive thing to do now. But we're gonna still find out if the city can let us do that again. We'll find a sponsor, you know, because it's just great. I mean, people in New York should be able to use their parks in that fashion. If there are a few people who don't go there for that, but go to Rip Off, then the people have to be protected from that. That's all.
Well, we never really had a problem with you.
We never had a problem.
Never. I mean, Simon and Garfunkel had 500,000 people, and Elton John had 300,000+. Before then, the first one we did was Barbara Streisand in 67. And then it came with the Beach Boys, and as you said before, I think it was Starship.
Yeah, they had Starship.
James Taylor. So there was no problems with hundreds of thousands of people. You know, people could put a tag on young people as being hooligans. You can go to a sporting event, and there are more fist fights because they're selling beer all night long than there is at a rock show. And I think rock and roll has kind of been delegated to second rate in all over the world because of young people aren't voters. And the politicians figured, hey, they don't vote, so what the heck, we can push them around a little bit. So we've been fighting that, and you've been fighting that all our lives.
Yep.
It gets kind of frustrating after a while to kind of convince people that people can behave if you give them the right type of entertainment and the right environment.
Ron, while you're here, you got any hot tips for us? Have you got something secret planned, big hot shows coming up that you want to let us know about?
Well, we're talking about next summer already, and there's word that Jagger's going to go out, and probably we hope David Lee out here is out. David Lee Cohen, remember him? He used to be David Lee Roth.
Yeah. David Lee Roth is one of our special guests for this afternoon.
And his ex-mates may be going out next year. I don't want to mention their name in front of David Lee, but there's also rumors that Pink Floyd may come back again and do stadiums, and maybe some of those super giant groups like The Who may reform. Who knows?
Yep.
The success of Pink Floyd, I kind of think, showed people that the 60s music is stronger than ever. In fact, a lot of young people in their teens are walking around with tie-dye T-shirts. You do a lot of shows today, and it's tie-dye time. Hence, the Grateful Dead is still big, and most of the 60 bands.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys like Van Morrison, who can copy him? He's an original. Tom Waits, last week we had at Eugene O'Neill Theater, was fantastic performer. These are performers. Guys today are great performers, and ladies are somebody like Bruce Springsteen. These people will go on forever. So these are the surprises that aren't surprises because they're great in person. They're not recording acts, as you know. You've seen many acts on a top single. You put them out in person, they can't sell six tickets.
Can I give you my first memory of you in the park?
I'm not putting
Ronnie.
Down video, but we are in a new way. Radio is where it's at.
That's right. The first time we did shows in the park, Ronnie sent a note and said that, you know, each one of us would do one. And I drew one to MC a young group called Small Faces. And they had some brash kid as a vocalist named Rod Stewart. And when I came out to introduce the group, he came up behind me and made some kind of obscene gesture. And the audience laughed, and I was livid. I was furious. I said I would never speak to him again. And about 4 or 5 weeks later, I was music director. Into my library comes this nice-looking kid, Rod Stewart, who had left Faces and had himself a single.
Yep.
And he came in to ask the music director of WNEW to please play the single. And when I turned around and I looked, and I said, "You? You want me to play your record after what you did to me in Central Park?" He got down on his knees and kissed the hem of my skirt and literally begged.
And knowing Rod Stewart.
Knowing Rod.
And then 5 minutes later, he said, "This is my new song, and would you come stay with me?"
And from then on, we were great friends. But that was the earliest memory of a park concert. And that was the way that we got involved with it.
WNEW-FM as we celebrate our 20th anniversary. 52 degrees and cloudy right now. Chance of some showers later on this evening with a low around 38 to 40.
I drank Bass Ale in Bombay with a curry made from lamb. And I drank Bass Ale in old Hong Kong with a lady I called Sam. I tipped a few in Timbuktu and here I raise Bass Ale to you.
Bass Ale! Bass Ale, the spirit of the Empire.
In the days of the Empire, Britons carried their beloved Bass Ale to the four corners of the globe, and it soon became popular everywhere. So today you can enjoy Bass Ale wherever adventure may take you.
Bass Ale, Bass Ale, the spirit of the Empire.
With its unique sparkling amber color and delicious flavor, Bass Ale is perfect with a native meal, a sunset, or a song.
Bass Ale, Bass Ale, the spirit of the Empire.
Imported by Guinness Import Company, Stamford, Connecticut.
Bass Ale.
This is the place where rock lives in New York City, 1027 WNEW-FM. And we go back now to the Hard Rock Cafe and Scott Muni.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy. I got David Lee Roth right here.
Let's hear Scott. A little noise out there, Big Apple.
Scott, before you start with David, I have somebody on the telephone who'd like to say hi to you.
Oh, you've got somebody on the phone, Jimmy?
Well, we're here to say hello to the whole city. This is the big anniversary here. This is the birthday party to end all birthday parties. Get on the line. We're feeling fine. Ask us what's on your mind out there. Who's on there?
Hey, David, it's me.
It's Cindy.
Cindy,
how have you been?
I'm pretty good. How's it going over there? You're having a party. Happy birthday.
This is the birthday party. We've decided to string it out just a little bit, so we're due to kill it, breakfast on Monday? Well, as you know, Cindy, this is New York, and the weekend officially starts on Wednesday, so...
Hey, Cindy, where are you?
I'm in L.A.
Uh-oh. She's in your territory. You're in New York?
The grapevine is shooting off sparks 40 feet long. Everybody knows about this birthday party. NEW, they were the first ones in on our record. I remember back in 78 with the Van Halen team. Come on, anybody remember that record out there?
Yes.
Hey, Cindy, you going to sing a song for us on the phone?
Sing us a song, Cindy. Do you feel musical?
A happy birthday song or something?
Oh, sure. I could do Ethel doing... Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay,
I'll
do it.
Ethel.
Hold it, everybody. Here's Cindy Lauper on the phone singing for us.
Okay, this is my Ethel Merman impersonation here. I've stooped to this, but, you know, I love to do this, and I can only do this at parties.
Well, you are here direct with us, Cindy. This is the party.
Here's my Ethel for all you people out there in New York City. I know we're having a great old time. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, what do you got against
Happy
music?
Happy birthday, dear NEW. Happy birthday to you.
All right.
Okay.
Look at their tearing the chairs out of the floor. They're going nuts.
You know, I tell you.
I've never seen chaos like this in this city. This is intense.
Can you believe it? I don't know. You know, sometimes it's in the right key, it's not, but you know, I gotta go for it.
Alice!
Hey, Cindy, we miss you. I know you're doing a movie and everything, and
yeah, we just finished yesterday.
What kind of movie are you doing?
Well, I play a very serious role of a psychic studying to be a beautician.
You deal with all the pertinent social topics: sushi, cannibalism, computer generated images.
Yeah,
I know that script. I think they tried. Yeah. And there you go.
You sound like you're having fun.
Woo. Yeah, I am.
What does NEW mean to you, Cindy?
Well, they played my... I remember when I was coming up from the cellar doing the laundry, and you were playing, like, my Blue Angel record. It was the first time I ever heard our song on the radio.
Woo! When was the first time you listened to WNEW, Cindy?
Oh, the first time? The day I came back from, I think it was the fall when I was in high school, Fashion Industries, and, you know, the A-Train was very crowded, I was feeling kind of sticky because I had my trombone and my art case with me, and, you know, I kept trying to stand the trombone up, and every time it would stop, the trombone would fall over on somebody.
Oh, you know? That was you!
Yeah, that was me!
Thought it was my agent.
Yeah, well, no, and then I went and... came home and I would turn on the radio and I would listen to NEW.
You're a sweetheart.
And there you go.
You're a sweetheart. We miss you, and I know you've been making a movie, so that's the only excuse, but we still want a note from your mommy.
Okay.
That you were working, because otherwise...
Because otherwise, yeah. Otherwise you're tardy.
Yeah, that's right.
I know. I miss you guys. You're having fun. What are you eating?
It's no food yet. That's later.
It's water made into ice cubes, Cindy.
They had...
And in between the ice cubes...
Hey, Cindy, you've been to the Hard Rock. They got piggies here, and they got the chicken and the ribs and burgers and all kinds of goodies. And then they got Etta's apple pie with the cheese and the vanilla ice cream.
And then they have the memorabilia all over the walls. That sounds faintly erotic, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like to sit under people's coats and Sandy Gennaro's drumsticks and... I don't know if you know.
You're into the memorabilia,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
Wild, sexy.
All right. For our next birthday, you get to be here in person, right? You're not going to be out on the coast again. No excuses.
I don't think so. You know, I'll have to use my psychic ability to predict this kind of thing, you know. It's hard to tell. I guess it wasn't working too good for me after all those lessons.
You gotta watch out. You know, you got the psychic ability, but Cindy, you gotta watch out in California. You get déjà vu, that feeling that you've never been there before. You know,
yeah.
You want out.
Well, that's beautiful. I'm gonna steal that line, déjà vu for California, because that is it. No offense, David, but that's true, man.
Well, it's shake and bake.
The air is different.
It's shake and bake, and we have some beautiful hydrocarbon sunsets because of the smog, you know, but we do take a lot of our inspiration from the Big Apple here. Ah, perfect theme music.
Trapped in a world he does not understand. David Lee Roth at the WNEW anniversary. Locked in a desperate struggle against time.
With Cindy Lauper sealed inside.
That's right. And you're going to be bringing up the mayor pretty soon and everything.
Really?
Jeez,
Mayor Koch is supposed to come by too.
That's right. Yeah. Mayor Koch is here, you know. I read his book on the plane coming in, you know, Koch's autobiography. I decided to do my own book. I'm going to call it Crotch.
With a tail. Listen, I feel bad.
Do
now.
Tell.
You should feel bad. You're supposed to be here. But anyway, you called us. That's important. And you sang a song for us. Nobody else sang a song on the phone.
That's right.
Well, you know, it's my interpretation. I could do some more for you. You know, the butcher and the baker are secretly upset.
Wow.
You know, this is going to be your new album. We recorded everything that you did, so.
That's right.
So you have another hit coming up.
This is the live one. This is the live one. What'd you do for your last birthday, Cindy? What'd you do?
I was working. And, no, but they had a birthday party for me on the set when we finished. It was the part where I was in all the mud. you know? And they had the misters, and they have the fans going, which they call ridders, and they keep yelling, up your ridder. And I was saying, hey, up your own ridder. What are you doing here?
Well, that certainly sounds New York. Let's hear it for New York City here.
Hey, and for Cyndi Lauper. All right.
Woo!
Hey, Cyndi, thanks for calling us and
wishing us
happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
God bless, dear.
I know you don't know about David Lee Roth's autobiography, but we're all going to listen to it right now on WNEW-FM. This is David Lee Roth's autobiography.
Live in front of your naked, steaming eyes.
Just a gigolo.
You're part of our 20th anniversary birthday celebration here at 102.7 WNEW-FM. Scott Muni along with David Lee Roth live at the Hard Rock.